up on my shoulders. Tell me what you see.
And welcome to the second of our Philosophy Symposium podcast. My name's Brad Atkinson. I'm going to be continuing a conversation with Dr. Nimra Wiener that we recorded last week. In the conversation, we talk about chiropractic and consciousness, and not just within chiropractic, but also within the community. So hopefully you continue to enjoy the information that we're bringing. If you've got any questions and feedback, as I say, info@thephilosophysymposium.com is the best way to email me. You can look me up on Facebook or Instagram and all of those avenues. I'll be able to respond to you through that. I'd love some thoughts and some feedback and some ideas on where you'd like to take this podcast. Don't forget that the Philosophy Symposium is coming up in the 4th of May 2019. There's a great lineup of speakers, so if you go to www.thephilosophysymposium.com, you will find the speaker lineup, you will find speaker bios and information regards to booking and the venue and all those sorts of fun things. So definitely jump online, have a look at that information. If you've got questions, please get in touch. Thank you.
Okay, now I'm going to just read a couple of the topics from your blog separate, but will it survive? The jack of all trades specialist, but should we? And conscious chiropractic. I think you've been reading a fair bit of Alice in Wonderland. we have the rabbit, we have the rabbit holes. I think you actually do quote the Alice in Wonderland in a couple of those ones. And a lot of the topics that I've sort of picked there are a bit of a surmise of where we're at. You know, we do a lot of the mechanistic things to appease the others, or, you know, and I think in the States it sort of came from that, you know, they call the Mercedes 80s, you know, where you could bill for individual services that you provide, whether it's, you know, G5 massage, whether it's, you know, a differential or whatever they call it. I don't even know the term, the tens and all sorts of things, interferential, ultrasounds, all sorts of, you know, different services. Just because we can do things doesn't mean we should do things. So, and that every time I read something along those lines, it strikes a nerve with me, because I do think, yes, I'm qualified as a chiropractor to massage, and I'm qualified as a chiropractor to put an interferential machine or a TENS machine on you. I am qualified to use a Graston tool if I so choose. But should we? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and, you know, I think for chiropractors individually and as a profession, we've been beaten up and beaten down and beaten sideways for over a century now, you know, and part of, again, part of the fun I've had in the last couple of years since leaving the board has been looking at the history of chiropractic in a lot more depth than I've ever looked at. And one of the realizations I had was one of D.D. Palmer's first students actually started beating him for his idea around chiropractic and how it didn't fit into the medical way of thinking. And what that's done for us is it's really impacted our self-confidence and self-esteem and sense of belonging and who we are, our identity. And so the result of that is that very often chiropractors and chiropractic as a profession run out and try and seek validation and greater self-esteem and self-awareness and sense of belonging and identity from anything and anyone that they can get it from. And sometimes the easiest way to do it, as we know in this very modern world, is outside in, is just going and getting a dopamine hit from someone that boosts us up in some way. And the problem with that is that in this society, a society that's entrenched in a couple of centuries of mechanistic thinking, we're often going to get validated for more mechanistic thinking and action rather than from the harder work of standing on our own and really bringing to humanity the true gifts of chiropractic. And so the result of all of that is that we go out, and as an individual practitioner, we may do things that make us feel good because someone has come to us and validated us for it. And those will very much sit within the setting of mechanistic thinking and symptom relief, analgesia, and those sorts of things. So, for example, if I have someone on my table and I start massaging them, they're going to feel good without a doubt, and they're probably going to thank me for it. And if my self-esteem is a little bit low, then I may start feeling better because they've thanked me so profusely for it. And in fact, as a chiropractor, I could probably be pretty good at massaging someone. But where we have a disconnect is that we need to start looking at that and things like that, things that make people just feel good, things that push more and more into the symptom relief, outside in, external validation system that's out there, and ask, is this the best thing that I can do it? And in fact, is it truly chiropractic? And when we start asking those questions, then we have to start to ask the question, well, what is chiropractic and how can I identify for myself if what I'm doing, I have integrity with it in terms of my view of chiropractic and what a chiropractor is, and where we go from there. Sometimes the response that people give to those sorts of questions are, well, you know, I have time to massage them. I have time to pull out the masseter. I have time to pull out the dry needles or whatever new fad ultrasound, light therapy, external, outside in analgesia there is to make the person on the table feel good and give me a dopamine hit because they've told me how good they feel. What I know is that if we focus truly on the one thing that makes chiropractic chiropractic and the one thing that makes me a chiropractor, and we got ridiculously, artfully masterful at doing that, and we offered it to our communities, there is no way that we would have time to do anything else. So it's important to disconnect the argument, well, I have time, because that's not a good enough argument. And not only should you not have time, but it also very much muddles the water of what people view chiropractic as. So I think there's lots of reasons not to do any of those things. But for me, the biggest reason is it purely and simply is not chiropractic. And just because I can do it, or just because I have time, or just because I have an ability to do it, or the physical space to do it, is not a reason to do it in any sort of way. You wouldn't do a lot of things that you have the time or the resources or the space to do. So why should you be doing those things? They're not helping chiropractic, they're not helping you as a chiropractor, and they're certainly not helping each individual person getting chiropractic to move towards what the purpose of chiropractic is.
Absolutely. And it's an interesting thing because, like, I'm a sports chiropractor. I don't know whether I've ever told you that. Like, I've done my ICSSD, my sports program. And the interesting part of that from my perspective is I wanted to be able to do that because I wanted to bring the power of chiropractic adjustments to a sporting community, but I couldn't get in contact with that sporting community until I've had jumped the hoops, so to speak, of actually getting this qualification. So I've done the qualification, but now I actually have no use for the application of that. So, you know, like, it doesn't mean I see the benefit of being able to rub someone and massage them and being able to, alleviate some troubles. And yeah, I put kinesio tape on my wife and I, make sure that she's, prepared and doing things that she should from a rehab point of view. But the reality is that I don't tend to confuse that and say, hey, this is chiropractic. Yes. And I think one of the issues that we have is that people will often hear me speak or hear me talk and they'll say, but, you tend to poo-poo chiropractic and, it's like, well, I don't have an issue with the application of those things, but as long as they're not confused by the public as being chiropractic, then I'm okay with it. So, yeah. I want to make sure that it doesn't come across as an arrogant sort of like a statement by saying that's just not chiropractic. It's not chiropractic as I define it. If you choose to use those mechanisms to, you know, in a way that you define chiropractic, then all great for you. But as long as it's not also creating confusion, I think that that's one of the major issues that we have with the profession at the moment. Confusion within the marketplace, confusion within the organisations, and it's all, you know, it's amplified by our different approaches and trying to look at, you know, gratification and justification within those, you know, within those things. So, yeah, that's my little two cents worth adding in there. Like,
absolutely, and you know, and like you said, there's no judgment on the practice themselves. You know, I like getting a massage. I like giving my partner a massage. You know, if you're playing a sport and you need to be taped in order to do it better, then by all means, those are all good skills and good things. But within the chiropractic setting itself, they're not necessarily appropriate for a chiropractor to be doing those.
Yeah, absolutely. So now I'm going to move on to your topic. So we've spent 45 minutes talking about chiropractic bits and pieces. And I want to pick your brain a little bit about consciousness. And I know that, you know, I think we do need to understand about the impact of chiropractic on consciousness overall. So I'm going to let you sort of go wherever you like with it, and I'll try to interject if I've got anything to add. So when you spoke about consciousness at the gathering, that was a really great framework, because you spoke initially about preconceptions and misconceptions within the community, and obviously towards, you know, like sexuality, that was the initial start point.
Yeah.
But it was about the way that it's perceived and the way that it is ingrained within us, and that conscious thought, you know, and not conscious thought as an individual, but consciousness around the collective.
Yeah.
So how does that translate then about the way you think about it, and then put it maybe into a chiropractic framework?
Sure. Okay. Well, look, it's Sydney and it's summer, and you know, we spend a lot of time outdoors and at the beach. And I was at a great gathering this summer, just last weekend. And you know, as happens to the majority of us, you're socializing with someone that doesn't know who you are, and you turn and introduce yourself, and they ask you what you do, and you tell them that you're a chiropractor. And this person that I spoke to, I was waiting for, you know, that reaction that we all get. They either recoil from us, or they grab their neck and feign some sort of, you know, tightness in there, or their lower back, or whatever it is. And, you know, what's always interesting to me is that how that person immediately responds to something that we have given them as an avenue into the conversation, and where that response comes from. So, you know, depending on the person, on their history, maybe on their experience with chiropractic, they may, you know, recoil from us, or they may feign that neck tension or low back tension in order to get some sympathy from us, or you know, in order to open up a conversation about how we can be of help to them. And what they're really telling us is that they've got an automatic response to the stimulus of what we've given them. And what underlies all of this is something that's really interesting to me, which is how their brain and their perception of what's going on around them has caused them to act in a specific way. Now, this all hints at the fact that there's been some level of input into the system, some processing within the system, and then some reaction or response to the world around them. And this is all under the control of consciousness for us. So what we do is we can see that people are behaving day in and day out with a consciousness that is a result of who they are as an individual, of their cultural history, of the systems around them. So if they're in a setting or a country where there is a lot of chiropractic or where there's no chiropractic, then it'll be quite different. But what's really interesting is the component of their own perception and awareness of the world around them, what they bring to the world around them, is going to have one of the greatest influences. And it's the combination of all of those factors that come together to have someone respond in one way or another when I tell them I'm a chiropractor. So last year I got the great pleasure of traveling in Chile. And over there, when I told people I was a chiropractor, they had a very different response, often not really understanding what it is that we do or what I meant by the term. And so all of those factors of the cultural milieu, the systems milieu, who am I and what the norms are, all come together for everything that we do and for every action that we take, every way we perceive the world around us, process it, and respond to it, and our consciousness takes over and gets us to respond in a very particular way in a very specific environment to a very specific stimulus. So what all of that really says is that, you know, people are in a way the result of all of those factors, and often not really actively, consciously thinking about what sort of response they should give to each thing. Now, what we know is that that people will have an automatic response like that before we adjust them and after we adjust them in very different ways. So this morning I had a mother of three little kids come in. She's been coming in for years. And before she got on the table, she looked at me and she said, as soon as I walked into the practice, I felt emotionally overwhelmed and like this energy had been totally drained from me. And I felt absolutely fatigued the second I walked in the door with my three kids. Now, this is some level of conditioned response that she is consciously having or consciously aware of. That was caused by her coming into the practice. I adjusted her, and after I adjusted her, she turned around to me. She drew this big breath and a sigh of relief. She looked at me and she said, "I now feel like I have more energy. I'm able to face my kids. I can take them to the beach for a swim, and my body's feeling much more alive." And now the interesting thing about that for me is that the sensations she has, the thoughts that she has about her kids and the day she's about to have, the images of what's happened to her and what is going to happen in the future, the feelings she has in her body, and the awareness of all of that was changed by an adjustment. And I don't think that my adjustment is necessarily more special than yours, Brad's, or any other chiropractor out there. I think we all have those experiences, and we know we do. And when people report a change in their sensations, in their feelings, in their thoughts, in the images they have about the past or what they're imagining about the future, and in their awareness about all of that, all of those things are relating to a change in their level of consciousness. And so the question now is, well, if chiropractic can impact someone's consciousness, if people's consciousness gets more fully expressed as a result of chiropractic, then can we ask the question, does that mean that the subluxation actually dims people's conscious experience? Does that mean that the subluxation dims people's consciousness? And so how could that be? And this is what I've been exploring for the last period of time in professionally and personally, of looking at, we all have that experience of someone having a changed level of consciousness, of expressing consciousness more fully after the adjustment or after their experience with us in practice. And so we know that anecdotally chiropractic is impacting consciousness. And what does that mean about how that can happen? And what does that mean about the subluxation dimming people's consciousness and on the other side of it?
And do you feel as though that's something that we need to explore with regards to like our definition of chiropractic and making it testable and those sort of things? Is that something that you feel like we can address via, you know, the avenues that we have at our disposal at the moment? Or do you feel like that's a little bit too far forwards for where we're at?
Well, yes and no. So one of the things that we need to do first, if we're going to look at consciousness, is define what consciousness is. And this took me months of research and study to see what in general was defined as consciousness out there. And it's a pretty hard thing to get anyone to agree on. You think getting yes. people to agree on the subluxation is difficult. Try the term consciousness. I think that if we, in a way, if we say, well, you know, Brad, you woke up this morning and at some point you woke up from a dreamless state, from where you weren't dreaming at all. And probably one of the first things that happened is you were aware of the breath that you took and you were aware of your body. You may have been aware of some sensations in your body. You had some thoughts and then you became aware of those thoughts. You became aware of who you are. All of that stuff that's happening since that dreamless state, that's consciousness. And so if we ask the question, how does chiropractic impact those things? How does chiropractic impact the sensations you have, the feelings you have, the thoughts that you have, the memories you have, and the imagination you have about your future, and then the awareness of all of those things? If all of that is consciousness, and if we're asking what is the interception between chiropractic and all of that, well, some of that we've been asking for a while. You know, if we look at just sensations and feelings, we have been asking, what is the impact of chiropractic on people's feeling of their low back or of their sciatica or of their headaches or of their proprioceptive sensations or balance sensations and sensory input processing and output. So in a very materialistic, mechanistic way, we have been asking the questions about the components of consciousness. Now, has chiropractic been asking about higher states of consciousness and executive functions of consciousness and my ability to imagine my future and my awareness of my ability to do so and my awareness of my self-identity? Well, no, we haven't done that, and we're very far from doing that. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't, because what's very interesting is that, like the example of the woman that got up and said, now I can face my kids and take them to the beach, that's where the richness of life is, right? That we all know that. We need more moments when we can have that richness, when we can have lives of moments of meaning and fulfillment and states of awe and the beauty of all of that. So should we be researching that? Well, if we want people to have a richer, more fulfilling and meaningful life as a result of chiropractic and to know how we can do that better, more effectively and with a greater impact on our community, absolutely we should be researching that. The question, the recoil that many people have because of their own states of consciousness is that all of this sounds really airy-fairy and way too out there and difficult to research. But what we should realize is that there are many, many big institutions around the world spending literally $500 million and up looking at consciousness. And I'm talking about hard science look at those, not just esoteric or more less scientifically rigorous institutions. So consciousness is interesting to science. Consciousness is interesting to research. Consciousness is interesting to our communities and the individuals around them. It's getting a lot of attention within medicine. If you look at altered states of consciousness, that's something that medicine has researched for many decades and is gaining a lot of energy and resources to do more and more. And should chiropractic do it? Well, my feeling is we probably impact consciousness more than we impact anything else in a human's experience. And at some point, it'll be interesting for us to dive down that rabbit hole.
Absolutely. I think the hard part, you know, is that it's so far removed from the mechanistic viewpoint of that we've been discussing already today. You know, like it's a long way away from thinking about low back pain. It's a long way away thinking about, well, that lower back pain then might allow someone to actually live in a more fruitful relationship because they're able to do things and engage, you know, with partners or families. But then to take it that next step on how they engage with themselves or with the world at large is another step. And then I think, you know, we probably, like me, struggle with the first two, let alone getting to the third or the fourth stage in that, you know, that little the timeline there. So it's a big topic, but it's one that I keep reading your blog, and I keep, you know, every time I read something that you write, I think it pisses me off because I think now I have to sit in a quiet room and just digest for half an hour and then try to figure number one, what you said, number two, how does it affect me, and number three, what next, how do I move forward with that information. So you know, I love the fact that you tend to get me to ask more questions and hence the reason why I make sure that I you know, spoke to you. Now, the first couple of podcasts, it's something that really always, you know, you're always testing me in such a wonderful way.
I appreciate it. I appreciate your feedback on it. I mean, it's, you know, really everything I do, I want to see that chiropractors get better and more confident and more clarity around what they're doing with more certainty. So I thank you for that feedback. And look, I understand, you know, but it's really interesting. I mean, there's even a lot of research out there that shows that people with chronic low back pain have an altered state of consciousness. So, you know, even if we're talking about those really mechanistic conditions that chiropractic may have addressed, you know, we can see that people's brains, people's state of consciousness changes as a result of things like that. So it's not that much of a leap, actually, to go from that. Now, if someone is stuck in that paradigm of analgesic chiropractic, of trying to numb people's low back pain, sciatica, or headache out, they may not be interested in looking at consciousness, and I understand that. You know, if we really want to have a look at the greater effects of what we do, the impact we have on people way beyond those mechanistic analgesic effects, then I think it's a pretty short leap. One of the things that you brought up earlier was the ASRF definition of subluxation, and that does span pretty nicely from the biomechanical to the neurological to the adaptability and stress models up to coherence and then people. State of being, which is where consciousness sits. So, you know, even within that research gamut, we have the ability to move from the mechanistic to the greater, more human parts of our experience in our lives.
Well said, mate. Well said. And look, as I say, I appreciate the fact that you've given up some time and at such short notice we've been able to sort of get our way through a conversation. But, you know, I'm always, as I say, I'm always following. I know that I've always got you there to bounce ideas off when it comes to, you know, questioning where I'm at and where we're going. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that you're a bit of a beacon of light for many chiropractors that think a little bit differently to the mainstream. So, mate, my hat off to you, and I appreciate the fact that you've given up your time and effort, and you know, thanks for being part of the podcast.
Well, thanks, Brandon. I really appreciate it, and you know, what can I say? I'm very, very much am grateful to what you're doing with the Philosophy Symposium. I think there's never been more of a need for it than there is now, and obviously, I would encourage every chiropractor to go along. It's definitely going to change the course of chiropractic in Australia, which is greatly needed. Thank you.
Absolutely.
got any further information about the Philosophy Symposium, you can go to the website, thephilosophysymposium.com. You can find all the information that you need there, speaker bios and program information regarding the event and the venue. It is in Melbourne. It will be there for the next 2 years. We've also got a great lineup coming in 2020, so I look forward to more details around that. But please get in contact with me and make sure that you let me know what is going through your head around these podcasts and what information you'd like to cover. So thanks for joining me again, and I look forward to catching up with you next time. Are you holding me up? Now I'm strong enough for both of us.